Welcome back to the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM. It's a Monday, which means we're going to talk to Brady Beaton now about the mighty Detroit Lions. Isn't this so typical Lions, Brady, that I think their best game of the season so far is the one that they've lost?
No, you're right. And I think, yeah, you nailed it. That this is the best game they've played. And it was a winnable game. Kansas City didn't play great. You had chances to win, and there is no moral victories because, hey, you either win or you lose. You don't get a playoff tiebreaker because, well, you played Kansas City really tough. But what this does do is tell me, okay, I think this team is legit. I think. Now they have a bye week to prepare for a Monday night game in Green Bay. Win that game, and I'm going, okay, you're a legit football team.
All right, well, they didn't play a perfect football game. I mean, the two fumbles were obviously killers. The one gets returned right. 100 yards. And for all the people out there bitching, I think they made the right call. I agree with
the
broadcasters that was a fumble, and that's a touchdown. And then the other Stafford fumble, it ended up not hurting them because Kansas City fumbled the ball right back to them, but it was an opportunity to score points there. You know, even if you get a field goal there, Brady, then at the end of the game, a field goal is all you need to win.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a frustrating game because, you know, I mean, if you want to play what ifs, but Lions are very close to being 4-0 right now. They blow the game in Arizona, and they didn't blow this game, but they lose a close game to Kansas City. That was a winnable game. You got to go into Green Bay now on Monday night and get a statement win.
And this is where they leave me in flux, though. Because, like you said, they could be 4-0, and yet they're not. So, which is the real Detroit Lions? The one I saw in the fourth quarter at Arizona in Week 1, or the one I watched yesterday that was exciting and entertaining? Is it the one last week in Philadelphia that got stuffed on the run, or is it the team yesterday that ran down Kansas City's throat? I don't know what to believe.
I think it's closer to the one you saw yesterday, and here's why. Here's one thing I think Matt Patricia's done really well. For all the things the Lions have done wrong this year, they are playing hard, they are playing tough, they are playing a nasty brand of football. They are, if you look at what they're saying in the postgame, they're not happy, they're not taking a moral victory. They're not blaming the ref. So it seems like that culture is more, hey, we know what we need to do to get this done. We should have gotten this done. And now getting ready for Green Bay. That, and I think I've seen improvement. Like you said, the running game looked great. Matt Stafford probably had his best game in a while as a Detroit Lion. These are promising signs. Go into Lambeau, get another win in Lambeau, come home, play the Vikings. You're 3-1-1. I think the Vikings are a very beatable team. Get to 4-1-1. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
Neither do I. But I can also see them being 2-3-1 after six games, 4-1-1 after six games. I'm still up in the air about this football team. Although I'm going to praise them for yesterday's effort because that was a fun football game to watch. I would have enjoyed it even more if I had nothing, you know, no stake in it, nothing on the line.
Right.
But the fact that, you know, you're rooting for the Lions there to pull that out, it's disappointing in that respect, but it was a lot of fun. Go ahead.
I was going to say, let's give Matt Patricia a little more credit here. He made that secondary work with a lot of spare parts. You don't have your best corner. Quandre Diggs goes out. You're playing with backups and practice squad guys, basically, and they, for the most part, held the Chiefs in check.
You mentioned to me last night in the text you didn't like the timeout at the end, and I was okay with the timeout at the end. And my reasoning was it was pretty obvious to me that the percentages were high. The Chiefs were going to score there, and I thought Patricia needed the time so that they could get those extra plays at the end.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but the Chiefs had no timeouts.
I think they had one left.
Okay, then it's fine if they have one left. Because even if they have one left, though, I'm going to just trust my guys on the interior. I'm going to win the game there because I like my odds better of holding them for two plays, because if they run the – they're not going to use the timeout. They're saving that in case of an emergency for the field goal. So they run the ball, right? There's about 20-some seconds left, correct?
Yep.
So they either use the timeout there, and that negates any run play because they have to throw, because if they get tackled, they have to get the field goal unit out in time. Or they don't, and by the time they do run the next play, there's about 10 to 15 seconds left, and that you have one more play to stop. I would have gone for the win on defense, personally. That was probably one of my biggest complaints coming out of that game, is I did not like the use of the timeout there.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, we'll just disagree on that one, because I think the Chiefs are one of the most potent offenses. I think they find a way to punch it in, and you want to leave yourself a little bit of time and a little bit of hope. That's all I'm saying there.
That's a scenario where if it works, you made the right call. If it doesn't, you didn't. Like, if he did what I said and doesn't call a timeout, and they run the clock down to 10 seconds and then score, everyone's going, well, why'd you leave a timeout on the clock, on the board, and give yourself at least a chance?
All right. Something that nobody's talking about, and I want to talk about it, Brady, because it bothers me.
Yep.
And that's the unfairness, I think. How hard it is to catch a touchdown pass in the NFL, and how easy it is to rush for a score. Okay, and this is what I mean. When you're on a running play, all you have to do is get the ball to the goal line. If the nose of the football gets to any part of the white, it's a touchdown. Doesn't matter if they slap it out of your hands. You don't have to land in the end zone with possession of the ball. As soon as you hit the plane, play's over, it's a touchdown. Whereas when you have to catch a ball, both feet have to be in bounds. You have to maintain the process all the way through.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous.
That's where I agree.
There were two plays in the game, at one at each end. The first one was a Chiefs receiver caught the ball in the end zone, and then the Lions defender came in and ripped it out of his hands.
The Justin Coleman one where he punched it out.
Which is a great play by Coleman, but in my NFL, that's a touchdown. And if we're going by the same rules as run, the guy had the ball in his hands with both feet on the ground for a half second. You don't even have to do that on a rushing touchdown. If they punch that ball away from you on a rush, it's still a touchdown.
That is where I agree with you. I think if I had to say, the rules would be you catch it the second both feet hit. If you have possession as both feet hit, that's the end of the play. It doesn't matter what happens after that. You scored.
Yep.
That's the end of the play. You can punt the ball. Someone can take it from you. Once you have possession and both feet hit, the play's over.
That's the way I think the rule should read, too. And the one that they took away from Kenny Galladay before Stafford fumbled was ridiculous. That's got to be a touchdown. That's got to be
it
a touchdown.
By the rule, but by the letter of the law in the NFL, it's not. Should it be in a normal... In a normal football, in a real football game, yes.
I think we got that one back, though. I don't know if you'll agree with me or not. The one they did give to Galladay at the end of the game, I thought he was out of bounds.
That was a touchdown. No, he dragged his feet.
I don't think you can tell on any of those replays.
They showed the camera angle at the last one they showed. It was from the goalpost. You could see it dragged into green before it hit white. That was exactly the right call.
I don't think they can prove that. But at any rate, I'll take the touchdown. And Galladay is, to me, he's the Lions' best player.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of them.
Oh, I think he's absolutely sensational. He might not be the most important player, but I think he's the best player that they have. I think he's their best athlete.
Very well could be.
So other than that, now it is a week off, and hopefully they will be prepared for a Monday night game at Green Bay here in a couple of weeks. That's on the 14th of October. Hopefully they don't pull a Michigan, have a week off to prepare for a big game, and then come out
in
and
Wisconsin.
Tank it. Yeah.
And then, yeah. No, this Green Bay game is, everyone looks at the Chiefs game and goes, okay, You could have won. You played your best game. You still lost. You had some huge mistakes. People aren't – the Detroit Lions fans right now are being very cautious to buy in. In years past, good things happen. You're seeing all this support. Now they're very cautious. Go win them over in Green Bay. Go run on that team. Go slow down Aaron Rodgers. Go get another win. And then you can start talking division. Because if you lose that game, and let's say the Packers lose to the Cowboys this coming week, they're 3-2, you're 2-1-1. You lose that game, they're 4-2 at worst, you're 2-2-1. That's a lot of ground to make up. And the Packers will also have 3 in-division wins at that point. They've already beaten the Bears and the Vikings.
All right, so Lions and Green Bay in 2. What are we going to talk about next week?
I don't know. Well, we got a good slate of college games. You got Michigan hosting Iowa and Michigan State playing against Ohio State, who might be the best team in the country.
There is that possibility. I'll tell you this, after watching the Spartans fumble and bumble about against Indiana, I'm not too confident going into that game. In fact, Michigan State has got a gauntlet to run now. I think 3 of their next 4 games are just brutal. And the one that isn't, Illinois, that's a trap game for me.
Yeah, because you're in the middle of a gauntlet.
So, I mean, I think the next 4 weeks are going to tell us a lot about just how good Michigan State is or isn't. And we didn't find out anything about Michigan this week because Rutgers is a JV team.
Mm-hmm. No, they shouldn't be in the Big Ten.
Yeah, we'll find out about whether or not the Wisconsin thing was a fluke or reality when Michigan takes on Iowa.
Yeah, and Iowa's not even the best the Big Ten has to offer. If you're not going to be able to go in and beat Iowa at home, what's going to happen when Ohio State comes north? That's going to be ugly, I think, because you know, that watching that game, Nebraska, they might not be the best team, but Ohio State has been steamrolling opponents in a half. They're doing things that Alabama was doing last year. That team is good. That team is really, really good.
Who's better in your mind, and I think I know the answer to this, Ohio State or Wisconsin? Who's impressed you more?
Ohio State. I think Ohio State just has more athletes. Like you have to pick your poison who you're going to let beat you. J.K. Dobbins might be a Heisman contender. Justin Fields is just about everything he's been cracked up to be, and he hasn't had to do anything. Like he hasn't had to play in the second half. They've just gotten out to these leads, and it's been over.
All right.
They're putting up video game numbers.
They are, and I'm worried that they're going to put up some big video game numbers maybe against Michigan State. I mean, I know the Spartans' defense is good, but Brady, I got the feeling they're going to be on the field the whole game, and you can only hold out so long against a really strong offense.
You're saying if the defense plays well, not like perfect, but plays a good game, you say they hold Ohio State to what, 30 points?
Probably, yeah.
And you're asking your offense to score 4+ touchdowns.
Which is tough for Michigan State to do against anybody.
Yeah. So you're asking you're basically having to ask your defense to take the most explosive offense in the country and hold them to 20 or less.
Don't think that's going to happen, yeah.
No.
I mean, I'd be really excited if it did, but I mean, I'd be texting you every couple of minutes, even though you're not watching the game, you're probably playing football, but
yeah, if Michigan State's defense can not just slow down but stop Ohio State's offense, then this might be the best defense we've seen in a long time in football. But Indiana had some success against them, and that scares me to see what Ohio State's going to do against them.
Yeah, that's, again, just the way the Indiana game went. I know the Spartans ended up winning in the end, but it left me with more questions than I had going in. All right. As always, Brady, a lot of fun to talk to you. And thanks for hanging out with us again on a Monday.
Awesome. Sounds good. I'll talk to you again next week.
All right. We'll see you. There's Brady Beaton. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back with more in a moment. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM.